Hello, Bedford listeners, and welcome to 105.1 WBNH, Bedford Community Radio. And you're listening to the Business IQ Radio Show with your host, Andrea O'Brien, and my co-host,
Don Byrne.
Hello, Don.
Hey, Andrea. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I want to remind the listeners that this is a non-commercial, non-political show, and it's coming to you from the Bedford Community Radio Station.
Actually, Bedford Emergency Radio Station is how I think they call it. Community okay. Emergency Radio. We'll have to get that exact title here.
Okay.
Sounds and good. I hope you're listening to us at one of our two times that we broadcast. If not, or if you'd like to hear some of the shows we've run in the past, I'd like you to know that we do have all of our shows are up on Podbean, podbean.com. You can find it by looking up Business IQ Radio, or you can go to the WBNH website and you can look back. And there it's not listed by our shows in a group. It's listed chronologically, so you have to flip through a little bit to find our show. Of course, you can always reach out to us through email or through Facebook. If you're interested in a topic or something else that you'd like to see covered. And in fact, you should know we've been doing some planning, and I think I'm going to turn over to Andrea to talk about some of the planning we've been doing based on some feedback we've gotten in terms of what we might be doing in the future.
Yes, we have a couple of great shows planned over the next few weeks, and we're using a jumping off point, you know, we invite some of our SBDC advisors to come in because they have areas of expertise that really can add to the discussion. So coming up, we have Warren Daniel. He's our Seacoast advisor, and he's going to be focusing on restaurants and business around restaurants.
When you say Seacoast, he's out of Portsmouth?
Yes, Portsmouth. And Nancy DeBosk, who is in the Keene office. Her background is around food and agriculture production and nonprofit. She's worked for several nonprofits.
I hate to say and admit that actually my focus is food these days, but for the wrong reason in a different way.
Yeah, well.
And of course, we do have our guest today coming from Keene. So a lot of things happening out in the middle of the state.
Right. And so we also have on the agenda the president of Alpha Loft, Mark Kaplan. Alpha Loft, for those who don't know, is a I consider it a co-working space around business starts and
it's like a business incubator.
Yeah, business incubator, and they run many programs that our listening audience I think would want to know about and could benefit from. So we're going to have Mark on. And then the Enactus group at UNH Manchester.
Yeah, you probably want to explain because that's a pretty interesting group, and I think it really ties into some of the things we've been trying to highlight on past shows, which is the involvement of students and young entrepreneurs and how they're coming up. And, they really are the future of business and the future of the economy here in the state. So can you talk a little bit of, kind of give a little bit of background on Enactus?
Well, I would call it a club. It's a business club. So usually these are students that have a business focus. Their major might be business. But there's always a social component to it. So one year they did a project around a veteran business. And another was actually a veteran nonprofit. Last year they focused on women-owned businesses. And they have a faculty member that leads them. And
is out of UNH or?
Well, UNH Manchester has their own chapter.
Okay.
And so we're going to have them on. And it's not just the project, it's a competition. So they take their project and they bring it national. And UNH Manchester finished, in a national ranking, I think it was about 40 last year.
Which That's pretty good out of the entire country.
Right. And there are many, many, many teams. And so that is that's in our lineup in the near future.
Yeah. So again, we're trying to diversify here a little bit, and we're trying also bring in a mix of existing businesses to go along with the startup businesses, because we really do value and appreciate how difficult it is sometimes to once you've reached that first plateau to hit the second or third plateau in terms of growth and expansion. So. we're looking to do that. And if you have any ideas or thoughts about how to do that, any folks that you think would be an interesting guest, some topics you'd like to see us cover, I really urge you to please reach out to us and let us know. Today, with Andrea's help, we're going to be talking to somebody from another one of the business incubators about a very interesting topic. But I think Andrea has a couple of comments she wants to make in terms of some other opening remarks here as well.
Yeah, so our guest today is Jake Non-Wheeler, who is with the Hannah Grimes Center in Keene, New Hampshire. And Jake is a recent college graduate from Middlebury College, a really bright, energetic, very articulate young man who has also become the Kiva representative. And Kiva is a social media platform. It's a crowdfunding, peer-to-peer kind of lending platform for small business that may not be, that really isn't bankable or may not be completely bankable.
One of the other equivalent or other crowdfunding, crowdsourcing programs you may have heard of is Kickstarter. So this is like a Kickstarter, but it's different because I think in Kickstarter, what you're doing is you're actually agreeing to either buy an early version of the product or make some other kind of investment in the organization. This has a very different business model, and I think it's going to be fascinating to hear Jake fill us in about how this works because it is different, and it really speaks to the diversity and the growth and the maturing that's taking place in the funding of businesses, and a lot of this is being enabled by the internet.
Well, you know, Kiva, it's, you know, you're not giving your money away. As an investor, you are lending small amounts of money. You wouldn't even miss it. You know, $25, I think, is the target for the lender, and the business receives many, many, many donations of $25, or not donations, loans of $25. And so it's quite a bit different than Kickstarter, where you are giving, you know, you are donating, if you will, money and getting something, whether it's a tchotchke or a T-shirt or maybe it is the, you know, some version of the product. So we're pretty excited. I've had a client actually get funded by Kiva, and it's a no-interest loan. You can't beat that.
I'm pretty excited to hear you use the word tchotchke, which I haven't heard people use in a long time. And for those of you who may not know what that is, that's a term that's usually used to describe some kind of a favor or handout, often given at trade shows to people. And so people go around, and often at trade shows, if you've been at them, you'll know people will come up with a shopping bag and they'll perfunctorily speak to you. But what they really want to do is they want to know, what do you have that they can take home and give to the kids?
You know, that Kickstarter, usually the first level, you know, there are different levels you can donate to. So that first level on Kickstarter oftentimes is a thank you note. You know, send us $5, we'll send you an autographed copy of us, you know, with a thank you note written on it. So,
well, I think this actually also highlights a point that we should make before we bring Jake in. He's going to be joining us by phone, I believe, so he's not here in the studio today. But, you know, just from this quick conversation, it once again highlights the information source that the SBDC can be to people about different funding sources and the different ways in which things are being done. I can tell you, listeners, that I actually have introduced a friend and colleague of mine to Andrea to get some help and assistance as he and his wife look to fund and grow their business. So our SBDC colleague here is a source of information. And why don't you tell people how to reach you if they want to reach out and follow up on this or on the show at the end or whatever?
Sure. So our website has lots of points of contact under our, you know, about us and our staff. So that would be nhsbdc.org. Our main office is at the Peter T. Paul College at UNH on the main campus in Durham, and my office is at UNH in Manchester.
And I think it's worth pointing out, as people who are listeners, regular listeners to the show, know that each of you folks tends to have a area of specialization, and yours is sustainability.
Yep.
And so you look at that topic and have a really a lot of very good information about this. I know that our guest wants to be coming in here, but are there any quick upcoming events that we should mention just before we bring in Jake?
Well, on September 13th, we are hosting a OSHA safety roundtable.
Oh, great. How do people find out about that?
That would be on our website under events. And so that, you know, if you own a business with employees, you're welcome to come. There's no charge, and there's a nice breakfast that goes with it.
In fact, I'd suggest that one of the best things you can do to keep up on what's going on in the state is to visit both the SBDC website, which is nhsbdc.org, or go to the SBA, Small Business Administration's website. Many of the organizations post very interesting activities. As Andrea mentioned before, we have a future guest coming in from the Alpha Loft. Go to their website. They'll talk about some of their programs, and certainly Hannah Grimes will actually have a chance to ask Jake a little bit about programs they're offering.
There is another program I want to mention, and that is, it's for veterans. It's called Boots to Business, and it's October 25th and 26th. So if you're a veteran thinking about starting a business, that's an SBA program, and you should register for that. It'll be out on Pease, the Pease base.
Well, on that note, why don't we bring our guest in here to Business IQ Radio on 105.1 WBNH, and I think I'll turn it over to Andrea to introduce and welcome our guest.
Hey, Jake, thank you so much for coming on the Business IQ Radio show today and being able to talk about Hannah Grimes and all the things that you're involved in there. We'd like to start off, when we have a guest, by asking them to talk a little bit about themselves and, you know, your background and where you came from. So can we start with that?
No problem. Yeah, thank you. I'm happy to be here. So my background, I went to Middlebury College and, oddly enough, graduated with a degree in conservation biology, which is always a joke among anybody that I tell about my background. So I did my thesis in birds, and, of course, now I'm in business.
They're directly related, of course.
Directly related.
You're talking to Miss Sustainability and Green of the state. So
that's right. You
have a very friendly audience, plus all of our listeners here on 105.1 WBNH.
Okay, good. So while I was at Middlebury, I did a lot of work with the Center for Social Entrepreneurship, worked with a couple different programs and interned with a couple different programs, so got some of my business chops there. And after I graduated from Middlebury, I worked for CNS Wholesale Grocers here based in Keene, since then have done a certificate in all things business, so accounting and strategy and economics and all that type of stuff. So further kind of put my business skills behind my feathers. And then I got a job with Hannah Grimes Center. I've been here for about a year, and I run the programs here at the Hannah Grimes Center. So everything that is business development and business education. So I work with entrepreneurs and nonprofits here.
Well, no better place to learn about business than being surrounded by people who are starting businesses, running businesses, growing their businesses. And I'm a big fan of the Hannah Grimes Center, as well as the other business incubators throughout the state. So good for you.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Are you a native to New Hampshire? Did you grow up here?
No, I did not. I am a foreigner. I am, as I tell people, an Oklahoma transplant. So I came from Oklahoma, grew up there, born in Texas, and basically came to New England to study and haven't left.
So you are at the incubator in Keene. One question that I've kind of always wondered about, can non-Keene businesses take advantage of that center?
Absolutely. We don't do any remote programming right now. Like we've explored doing some web streaming and things like that, but we always welcome people to attend any number of programs that we offer. So the incubator, we have people have a full-time office here, so it's a little bit challenging for people to participate in the incubator that way. But we do have a number of workshops that just are ad hoc and pop up every once in a while, and we have people come from Vermont and Western Mass and Nashua and Manchester and all over the place for our different programs. So we have a program this fall, for instance, on nonprofit management. We have people coming from all over the state to attend that program. So it just depends on what we have going on and what people are interested in.
I've actually run several nonprofits, but not intentionally. So.
That's so interesting, because we very often get clients that are starting a nonprofit, and you know, it's a different ball of wax than a business, although some of it's the same, but much of it's different. And I'd love to attend that.
By the way, I'd like to give a plug for the other event you do there that I know you're quite happy to have people come and participate in, which is Connect. And we spoke about Connect a little bit in the beginning of the show because I was very pleased to be invited to be the keynote for Connect. And so it's a terrific upcoming event. And do you know the dates offhand for Connect this year?
I do. So the date for Connect this year is November 2nd. And we're really excited to have the event at the Colony Mill. So we'll be taking over the entire second floor of the Colony Mill. Well, not the entire second floor, but they have a big open area. We'll be hosting the event there. We're going to have the same wonderful catering we have and some installations of local businesses that are considered by all means to be innovative. So they'll be showcasing their products and what they've been doing. So it'll be a really cool event.
So since we're actually mentioning Connect, why don't you just give us your website or where people go to find out about Connect? Because I know as a 501c3, this is your major fundraiser for the year.
Definitely. So you can register at hannahgrimes.com/connect. There's information both on registration and on sponsorship. We're super excited this year to be partnering with the Keene Sentinel for the event and have some completely outrageous sponsorship packages, just absolutely fantastic opportunities for businesses to you know, be a part of this event and be a part of the energy. So if people are interested in that, they should definitely check it out.
Super. You know, I've had the pleasure of meeting you, Jake, at Hannah Grimes. You gave a very interesting presentation on I don't know whether you referenced it as a peer-to-peer lending or crowdfunding platform, but you gave a great presentation on Kiva, and we'd love it if you would tell the listening audience about how you're interacting with Kiva, what it is, and what it means, what it could mean to them.
And if it is a peer-to-peer lending model, please explain what a peer-to-peer lending model is.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Definitely. Yeah, start from scratch. So Kiva is a number of things. It is a peer-to-peer lending platform, and it's also a crowdfunding platform. And basically what that means is that businesses are on the platform seeking funding from other individuals, from other businesses.
When you say on the platform, you mean that they have a web presence, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Yep. Kiva is an online platform, an online website.
Could you give that website out?
It's kiva.org, KIVA.org.
So the ORG, does that signify a nonprofit?
It does. Yep, they are a 501c3 nonprofit based in San Francisco.
Terrific. Very good. I actually know what a Kiva is, by the way, so we can talk about that later. I visited some Kivas in the Southwest. So.
Oh, cool. Wonderful.
I don't know what a Kiva is. What is it?
We'll explain it to you later.
Okay, all right.
He's on a roll. We'll
okay,
leave him alone.
Sorry, Jake.
No worries.
Go ahead.
So Kiva started as an international microfinancing organization, kind of you know, inspired by the whole Muhammad Yunus microfinancing movement, and their goal was to provide financing in small amounts, $50, $200, $500 to entrepreneurs in developing countries is basically where it started. And a couple years ago, someone brought up the idea of, well, you know, developing entrepreneurs and, you know, entrepreneurs in developing countries need funding, but I bet that American entrepreneurs also need funding, you know, in kind of first world countries. So they did a beta and tried it out, and sure enough, at higher amounts of upwards of $5,000 to $10,000, they found that entrepreneurs based in the States were just as excited to be able to access this type of funding with their same platform. So we are really excited to be partnering with Kiva to help educate people about the opportunity of the loan and the opportunity that exists. And really, in kind of summary of what it is that it's a 0% interest loan up to $10,000, so anywhere from $100 to $10,000 for business owners that are looking to grow, expand, build inventory, hire help, whatever it may be, and it's a crowdfunded loan. So similar to GoFundMe, Indiegogo, Kickstarter, the same type of model, but this is a loan rather than a gift or a pre-buy or anything like that.
So the investor, so there's a set of investors then, because they're lending these small amounts of cash. Can anybody be an investor?
anybody can be of any amount too, which is fantastic. So the classic amount that they talk about is $25. It's a nice little digestible amount, but you can go on the platform and lend any business as much as you would like.
Well, this really does fill a need. I used to be in the venture capital business, and of course the problem is that you want to lend large amounts of money because that's what you have to do to get your fund and to be able to eventually show a return. What you don't want to do is you don't want to be sitting on idle capital. And there was always a problem for organizations that were looking for smaller amounts of money and weren't looking for the hockey stick kind of growth paths, you know, the unicorns, as they call them, the people mm-hmm. that have become a billion-dollar business in 3 years kind of situation. And there was a real hole in the marketplace, that whole lower end of the marketplace. So this sounds like it's really filling a very, very good need. Are you getting some traction or interest among people at the Hannah Grimes Incubator?
We have. You know, a lot of the businesses in our incubator are beyond the 10,000, but we've been working to educate people about the opportunity that exists and to get referrals from people that are talking with and working with some of the early stage entrepreneurs. In fact, Andrea, who we have here on the show with us, has been a wonderful source of referrals of people who are basically looking for that 10,000 to get started or to grow or to whatever. And it's hard to find. Honestly, without a platform like Kiva, it is very challenging to find, especially in the funding climate of New Hampshire. So thanks to people like Andrea, the other partnerships with the SBDC, we've been reaching out into southeastern Vermont and some of the other organizations that are providing technical assistance. And it's really just educating the technical assistance providers as it is educating the business owners.
Well, you know, I was around for, I think it was called microcredit. It was a microcredit loan fund. I think that's what it was called. And it filled a need just for a few thousand dollars, you know, whether it's some inventory that you want to buy or a small piece of machinery and you just need a little bit of seed money. And then that went away. And, you know, a bank doesn't really want to lend $10,000. It's too much work to do the paperwork and for not a lot of return. I mean, so it's really great that Kiva showed up. And it's equally great that when I refer clients to, you know I'm referring them to Jake, and Jake really knows how to help them out as well.
Well, I think the other point that you're making here about dealing with a bank loan versus this kind of financing is that many of the people who are looking for this kind of money they don't have a lot of resources. They don't have a lot of collateral to put up. So they may not be able to qualify for a bank loan because they can't secure it with right. some kind of collateral. And this being a crowdfunding model sounds like we get around that. Am I understanding it correctly, Jake? Is that the way it works?
It is, yeah. So Kiva is designed to help people that are kind of at that pivotal point that either have too little history to get into a bank loan or the amount is too small or whatever it may be. And the also really unique part about Kiva is that the way they underwrite the loans is using a social underwriting process, is what they call it. So when you apply for a Kiva loan, oddly enough, there is an application process, but the application process does not involve any credit checks on the entrepreneur. And what Kiva has been running on and has been successful with is this idea that if you can get your friends and family and a pretty good handful of people to lend you $25, then you are credit worthy. You are able to pay back that loan, and enough people believe in you that you can pay it back. So depending on the amount that you're requesting with the loan and the term of your loan, Kiva gives you a number of people that have to lend you $25 to get your loan started. And once you reach that number, then you're kicked into the broader pool of international investors who are interested in lending you money.
Do you have any idea what kind of volume Kiva is doing, the platform is doing, how many people at any one time are off looking for money, and have they, you know, sort of, do you have a success rate? Is it 1 out of 2 wind up getting funded, 9 out of 10? You may not have these stats, but I'm just curious if you do.
I can definitely get these stats for you. I know just off the top of my head, I know that since Kiva started the U.S. program, Kiva has done over $850 million in funding. So they've distributed that amount of loans. People have lent that amount of money through the platform itself.
That's a lot of $10,000 loans.
Right. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's pretty astounding. And I know that the current funding rate really just depends on the number of participants and how active the platform is. Right now, the majority of participants definitely do get funded. And what I tell people is it really comes down to, you know, think about it, even though people like to think of it as, okay, I need a business plan and I need to prepare like I'm going into a bank. You know, think of yourself on a platform looking at a handful of businesses who are looking for funding. What are you going to look at first? You're going to look at the photo. You're going to look at the business name. You're going to read the first couple sentences of the story. And if those don't grab you, then you might not be as interested in lending as the next loan that has a fantastic photo and a really clear description of what their business is. So that's what I work with people on, is selecting the right photo and describing their business in a way that's attractive. That increases the success of getting funded.
You're listening to WBNH 105.1 FM, and it's Bedford Community Radio, and this is the Business IQ Radio Show. And today our guest is Jake Nonwheeler from Hannah Grimes. He's the program director at the center located out in Keene, New Hampshire. And I wanted to ask you, Jake, so Kiva is a nonprofit. How do they make money? How do they stay afloat?
So I love this about Kiva. It's a pretty fascinating and incredible community. Kiva gets the majority of their operational funding through donations to the platform. So if you go on Kiva, you find an entrepreneur that you would really like to lend $20 to, $25 to. When you check out and finish that donation process or that lending process, Kiva says, would you like to go ahead and round up and donate $5 to Kiva? So it asks you if you'd like to make your total 30 and lend an entrepreneur 25 and donate $5 to Kiva. Through that little process, that little question at the end, Kiva raises the majority of its operational funding. The rest of it is all foundational funding and grant funding at a national level.
Wow. Well, you know, this is really the, we saw when Kickstarter and Indiegogo and some of these other crowdfunding platforms came on the air, that this represented a brand new dynamic in the area of funding people. And it certainly has grown. I can tell you that I actually support online through Patreon what I think is a terrifically interesting show on YouTube, which looks at the Great War, the World War I. And if you're not familiar with it, I'll give that a little plug, which is it's called The Great War. And what they do is they give you between a 10 and 20 minute summary of what happened exactly 100 years ago this week during the war. So they take you all through the war, and it's just really well done. It's all supported through Patreon, through these contributions. And the average contribution to that show, I know, is around $5. So this is really a way to tap into the power of the crowd and get out there. It's not something that is so outrageous that people can't necessarily fund this. This is not the traditional friends and family funding where you go around and ask people for $25,000. This is something, you know, two, three orders of magnitude less that you can go off and doesn't hurt people. And it's just a terrific idea. So are you the best contact in the state? Are you the only one in the state who is a contact? Or if somebody's on the seacoast or up in the North Country, would they come to you as well?
They can indeed. So there are representatives across New England for Kiva. We are called Kiva Advisors. We've been trained. I did a training session with Kiva in New York earlier this spring. So I sat down with the team and learned about the intricacies of the platform and what they do and what they don't do. I am the representative for New Hampshire, so I am happy to talk with anyone who's in the area. And if travel is an issue or whatever may be the case, we can always find other people nearby. But I'm always happy to talk with anyone in the state about Kiva.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andrea.
Is it so? $10,000 is a good amount, but $20,000 would be better. Is there any plan to, you know, slide that amount northward?
There are considerations of doing that. They are working hard to do so, and the limit as of probably like very early this year was $5,000. So they just upped it to 10,000, and they're working on making sure that the loans that are at 10,000 are fully funded. So they're slowly exploring that process and thinking about it, but the program director and manager over there are absolutely working to get it up to 15 and even 20.
That's great.
So without giving away any names, can you give us a sense of what kinds of businesses or kinds of people are talking to you about becoming interested in Kiva? What are they looking to do? Are they retail primarily? Are they high-tech companies that are starting out?
We've had
a bunch of students on here that are doing things. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, are you going to?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, and I'd like to underscore without giving any names away because.
But if you can tell us, sort of the type of business, are people starting pizzerias or what are they doing?
Definitely. So I can give some examples from the training too that we had in Kiva.
Great.
That's a good way.
Sure.
So there's a couple different types of businesses that do really well on Kiva, and some types of businesses that don't necessarily do poorly on Kiva, but just have to work a little bit harder to make it happen. Work a little bit harder to tell their story and why they deserve to get the funding. Food businesses, both in the agricultural space as well as the culinary space, have done quite well. I think it's because people can identify with food businesses, especially restaurants, and they like supporting a business that they feel like is creating this cultural, social atmosphere in their community or another community. So there was a caterer, for instance, that Kiva worked with a couple years ago when they first got started, and he was trying to open up he was from Jamaica, and he was trying to open up a shop in Brooklyn. And he needed $10,000 to put down the initial rent and, really just build up his inventory and open the shop. And Kiva really transformed his entire life. It transformed his business and gave him the opportunity to open up this shop. And he's been wildly successful. And the best part was he catered our lunch when we were in New York City and did the training session. So it was really fun to see it full circle. And Kiva kind of surprised us, too, and said, hey, the chef that just dropped off your lunch, we're going to have him come talk to you guys about his experience with getting a loan through our platform, which was great. So caterers do really well with it. Food businesses do well with it. Product businesses also do well. So just any type of product that is manufactured or is it created typically is people can easily identify with. The types of businesses that often struggle are service businesses. And that's not necessarily all service businesses, but ones that are, graphic designers or attorneys or business consultants, mainly because a lot of the work can tend to be subjective. So if a potential lender can go on a platform and evaluate a product or evaluate a food based on how it's described, people can go along with that. But if a service provider says, I'm a really good attorney, there's often no way of knowing without testimonials and that type of thing. So service providers have done well on the platform, but it's really, really important for them to be specific in their language and talk about what they're actually using the money for and why it's needed to expand rather than just another $10,000 to add to their cash flow.
So mm-hmm. Tangible versus intangible products in some sense.
You got it.
It's interesting. I'm sorry, Andrea. You mentioning the food business, I can tell you that I'm sorry this wasn't around a few years ago. I had a colleague who was approached because he used to go to this restaurant quite often and got friendly with the owner. And the owner said, gee, if I could find somebody who could come up with a around-the-year supply of lettuce, I would give them a year's worth of purchase orders right now. And mm-hmm. and he said, and I'm not unique. Somebody could really do this. And if you got two or three of these restaurants, you could probably get enough purchase orders from them guaranteeing you cash flow that you could go to a bank and finance getting a greenhouse and whatever. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But I think that's an example of, this could be a real breakthrough for somebody who really wanted to do something like this. So great example about the food business.
Absolutely. It can be a breakthrough for people.
What's the timeline? When a small business needs cash, sometimes it's right now. And
it's always right now.
It's always right now. And so what's the planning cycle? What could you recommend to them?
That's a great question. I encourage everyone who is exploring a Kiva loan to be in touch with the SBDC or another technical service provider, because the funding is one thing, but planning for the funding, how to implement it, how to use it, how to start paying it back is equally important. So for instance, when you receive the Kiva loan, you get the full loan amount deposited into your bank account, but you do have to begin paying back that loan within a month. So people have to anticipate a little bit how to use the funds correctly and how to leverage the financing to the greatest potential. So I encourage people to at least sit down with me or sit down with SBDC, sit down with a business coach or someone who can help them think through some of the implications before they take on $10,000 in a loan. The planning guidelines for Kiva are, there's a couple parts. One is there's an application process. Once you open the application, you have about a week to finish up that application. That's the perfect time for me to connect with people. I typically like to talk to people before they open up an application so they can look at the profiles, begin thinking about how they would describe their business, get a sense of what they're going to be talking about, get their photo together. If they decide it takes a couple weeks to do that, it's much easier to do that, then start the application and get it done. Once they do the application, they send it off to Kiva. Kiva does an independent review of the application to be sure it's within their guidelines, to be sure that they are choosing businesses and accepting businesses that have the greatest chance of success on their platform. If they have any concerns, they will reach back out to me and have me work with the borrower specifically to address those concerns. Once a borrower is approved, that borrower has a couple weeks to raise money in what's called the private fundraising period. And this is what I was talking about earlier, the social underwriting process. Based on the amount of money requested in the term of the loan, Kiva gives you a certain number of people that need to lend you money, lend you $25. And this is really your chance to prove yourself. So you tap into your network, you tap into your customers, your future customers, social media, whatever it may be, and work on reaching that period. It's typically between like 15 and 25 people. So 15 and 25 times $25. After that, once you reach that amount, you enter the public fundraising period, and you have exactly 30 days to reach the full amount of the loan for the public fundraising period. So that's when it's released to the platform, and you can connect with potential lenders across the world. The really important point about Kiva is that it is winner takes all or winner loses all. So it's an all or nothing platform, unlike some of the other crowdfunding platforms out there. So we really work hard to get people, accelerated into their loan early on rather than wait 2 weeks and get a backlog.
So you're listening to Business IQ Radio here on 105.1 WBNH. Our guest today is Jake Nonwheeler from the Hannah Grimes Center out in Keene, talking about a really revolutionary new funding platform called Kiva, which is doing what I guess in the U.S. would be considered microloans up to about $10,000 in size. And Jake, it seems to me that there's a clear secondary benefit. If you are on Kiva and you make it to the public exposure area, you're getting a lot of visibility and publicity for your product and service. This has to have some additional benefits once you complete the funding.
It is indeed, and that's a great point, and it's something that I also tell potential borrowers too, is granted that it's a crowdfunding platform and granted that that terrifies some people, I totally get it. It really is a fantastic marketing opportunity. So if you use it correctly, in your social media, you tap into your former customers, you give people an opportunity to contribute to your business, people are psyched about that. They love it. If people have tried your products before, they really want to get involved and really want to help out. So it's a fantastic marketing opportunity, and that's how I really encourage people to think about it and frame it as they develop their application.
And is there a way, if you make a contribution to someone, to indicate that you're doing it because you're a former customer and happy with their service, or is it just all anonymous?
You can do it. You can make a loan anonymously, or you can attach your name to it. So however you prefer, when you do it on the platform, you can do either.
Can you tell us, Jake, about the option of forming a group investing?
Yes. So that's a wonderful point. On the opposite side of things, from the lender's perspective, we are also putting together the New Hampshire lending team. And I just took over the leadership of the lending team a couple months ago, and I'm working on getting everyone back in action and getting people excited about Kiva. But really, the New Hampshire lending team is an example of any lending team that can be formed. Lending teams exist all over the world by companies, by cities, by towns, by branches of offices, by, you know, an entire family member. It's basically a way for lenders to communicate and to share loans that they are excited about or thrilled to support. So I'm hoping that through the New Hampshire lending team that we can not only drum up some interest in the borrowers, that we can support some of the people looking for funding in the state, but that we can also drum up some interest for lenders and people that are interested in contributing money to some of these growing businesses.
I have a couple questions. So if I want to become part of the New Hampshire lending team, how does that work? And if we, let's say there are, I don't know how big it is, how big would a team be?
It can be any size you wish.
So what if it was 1,000 people?
Mm-hmm.
Or that's too big. How about 100? That's $2,500.
You got it.
So that would be one entity lending $2,500.
You got it.
And who would vote on that? I mean, who would be the, is there a president of the group? Or?
You probably need a lawyer to set this up.
Yeah, right.
Well, the group really serves as kind of a communication hub. So anyone who's a member of the group, they have a group page. They can communicate through the page and share different ideas and messages and those types of things. So the group won't contribute as a whole, but it's kind of a central communication point to rally around and to think about different opportunities with. So
I see. So so if I was a member of the group, I would still have the option of putting my $25
wherever
I wanted it. But it just provides a platform for exploration of different, you know, investment potential.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it sounds like when you put a band of angels together, and what'll happen is you actually, you'll have somebody who will help vet any of the deals that are brought forth, but it's up to the individuals in the group to decide if they want to invest or not and how much they want to invest and what T's and C's they get. But they have the power of being able to look at it as a whole, and you can more rapidly find other people to join you and come in on the investment with. And I guess that's a little bit of what would happen. And so I think it's analogous to a band of angels, just at a lower lending level.
You got it.
So I'm interested, Jake, to know about your friends, and when they hear about what you're doing and when you hear about what they're doing, I mean, are they awestruck by the very cool things you get to do? Or?
They are. And, you know, people, honestly, especially with an opportunity like Kiva, don't believe it.
They don't believe it.
That's something that Kiva actually struggles with, is that people think it's too good to be true, and, you know, think it's absurd or think it's a scam or think it's whatever, and it's not. And that's the coolest part.
I get that reaction from clients when I'm telling them, you know, $10,000 interest free, and they're really.
So yeah.
Now, Jake, if somebody, let's say, I think you said that the term for payback is variable. So, let's assume that I can take less than $10,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if I decide I want to borrow $5,000 and I pay it back in 1 year. Can I come back to Kiva and take another bite at the apple and try to get, the second time coming back, I'm going to look for $10,000, and maybe, you know, 2 years from now, they'll be up at a higher level and just keep coming back? Is that, or are you precluded? Do you get one exposure and that's it?
You can come back as many times as you like. And that's something that Kiva is really proud of, too, is that they pitch it as a resource for entrepreneurs when they need it. So there are times when an entrepreneur needs, an entrepreneur starting out needs maybe $2,000 or $3,000 to get some inventory going. And a year from now, once the business is going and that inventory is used up and the loan is paid back, maybe they need $6,000, right? And they can come back to Kiva and look for a higher amount and make that happen. That's something that Kiva is really excited about and really cherishes about the community.
You know what would be a cool event? nobody asked me, but I'll just tell you. A cool event would be like a Kiva convention where all the small businesses that benefited New England-wide would get together in a little, you know, just not a convention, but maybe a trade show kind of thing.
I think they should each get a booth at Connect, and they should show off their products that way.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of opportunities to showcase them. And the cool part, too, that Kiva loves to and is honestly pretty excellent at cultivating, too, is that there's such a team spirit around it. Anybody who applies for a Kiva loan is typically self-selecting. When you describe the platform, some people go, no, I want nothing to do with that. I just want to go to a bank. I just want to figure it out. I just want one person to fund it. And the type of person who gets totally jazzed about marketing the product and working in a community and advertising on an international platform and, you know, cheering on other businesses that are doing the same, that creates a really cool community of people, not only lenders, but also borrowers that are excited to go both ways. You know, one of the requirements is for a borrower to actually submit an application, they have to have lent $25 first. So Kiva really encourages people to not only borrow, but also lend and take advantage of the community in many different ways.
So that brings a question to my mind, which is we've spent a lot of time talking about how someone can be successful using Kiva. What is Kiva doing to promote themselves? I mean, quite frankly, until just a few weeks ago when Andrea began telling me about Kiva and some of the things you were doing, I didn't know about it. And I kind of feel like I'm pretty close, you know, to what's going on in and around the community, especially in New Hampshire. So what is Kiva doing to promote Kiva?
Kiva is probably one of the main things they're doing is they're partnering with people like me and institutions like Hannah Grimes Center to train up people who are knowledgeable about their platform and the ins and outs of navigating the platform. So once you get involved, there are thousands of questions about payback terms and payback time frame and, you know, the intricacies of the platform and timelines. And I'm really designed to help people navigate that. That's what I'm here for. So there are representatives in Vermont and Boston and Maine, and they're continuing to train people both in New York City as well as San Francisco on Kiva. And they're really hoping that that referral source can help drum up interest in the platform. And it's really the probably the best way to get interest in the platform rather than pouring money into digital marketing. So, for instance, that's probably why I am here and why Andrea and I are connected is because part of my responsibility as an advisor is to reach out to other technical assistance providers in the state, including the SBDC. And when I did an info session earlier this summer on Kiva, there was a great amount of interest and people said, wonderful, I would love to learn more. And even more than that, I would love to send you some clients I'm working with who might have an interest in doing the platform. So since then, I've got connected with a number of different people in the area.
And so, I can also see how, in the way you describe the program, that some of what will drive its popularity is that as people begin to apply, they are actually reaching out to their set of supporters, their ecosystem, and once they're introduced to Kiva, they're likely to potentially pay attention to other things that are going on, and it'll spread that way. So it's a little bit of, you know, very crowd oriented in what it's doing.
Absolutely.
And to further the spread and the word of Kiva, we have an annual convention, the Small Business Development Centers do, and you should write a white paper, Jake. So next year, you can submit the white paper. It could be a case study. It could be a couple of different case studies. And you could, travel to the convention, and we've got a couple thousand advisors across the state.
And we can go on Kiva and try to get your funding to be able to travel to it as well.
There you go.
That's right. But the whole network of small business development centers, I'm sure you guys at Kiva are reaching out to all of them across the nation.
So to complete the picture here a little bit, other than Kiva, if somebody came to Hannah Grimes and they approached you and said, well, what I'm really looking for is something different, and I don't want traditional bank loans. Are you in a position to provide that kind of assistance if someone wanted to go to either find an angel investor, to find the traditional venture capital investors, or to do other things, merchant banks that sometimes do some venture lending. Are, do you provide those services out of Hannah Grimes? Because I do know that the SBDC people, there are people that they also have that provide such services.
We are working on developing a couple things along those lines, especially because, and just reminded of that again today with an entrepreneur I talked with who was struggling to find financing for, you know, in the grand scheme of things, is honestly not that much, a couple $10,000. You know, it's not that much in the grand scheme of developing a business and growing a business. So it is a challenge in New Hampshire, and increasingly so with the funding sources that have particular industry preferences or history preferences, and especially after some of the bank issues in the past decade. Banks are more hesitant to lend to certain businesses and certain businesses that don't have the right history or the types of collateral. And I mean, there's so many variables that go on. One thing that we've been really excited to hear about is REDC, which is located, I believe they have their office near the Nashua area.
I think they're in Raymond.
Yeah. And they've been doing a fantastic revolving loan program. And they've been doing a great job of vetting loans and talking to people about what they need to have a successful loan application and have a successful implementation of a loan. And we're hoping that we can do a similar type of revolving loan fund here in the Monadnock area. There's really nothing quite like it.
Well, don't you have the MEDC?
We do, but MEDC typically does not work with young businesses. So, you know, we'd be looking to do some more riskier types of loans, more startups and more younger businesses. And MEDC is looking for more mature types of opportunities.
Well, that sounds terrific. There's something else that I think I heard of out there. Are you guys doing an event in the near future about helping businesses connect to angels? Is there an actual event for that?
We are, and that's happening at the end of this month on September 29th. We're hoping to make a quarterly event that we're calling Pitchfork. It's an opportunity for businesses who are seeking funding to connect with potential investors or donors. This month, we have a couple different businesses, one of which is Monadnock Menus, is a local food distribution program. They're looking for $75,000 in operating capital and also to purchase a new truck that can greatly increase their distribution capacity and their ability to distribute products and pick up products from other area farms. So businesses that are really looking for an opportunity to connect with people who are interested in supporting their endeavors, we hope to continue making those opportunities available to people and are looking for both investors to join and learn more about the businesses that are in the community as well as businesses that would like to get involved. And folks can email us at financing@hannahgrimes.com for anything related to Pitchfork.
And that's Hannah without an H at the end, right?
Hannah with an H.
Hannah with an H. Okay.
Yep.
That's what I said.
Can you repeat that, Jake?
Sure. Financing@hannahgrimes.com. Hannah Grimes with an H is the best place to contact us about any opportunities related to Kiva, too. Anything related to financing.
Before we begin reaching the, and we're almost at the end of our time with you, and it's just been terrific. I think one other issue that it merits pointing out is that since this is a loan, there's no dilution of equity. There's no distribution of equity. There's no dilution of ownership for the people who accept this kind of financing. And for a lot of entrepreneurs, that's an emotional issue that they have to get over. I've always been of the mindset to say, would you rather have 10% of a watermelon or 100% of a grape? But that's a discussion for another time. But in this case, there is no loss of equity because it's really a loan that's coming into them that gets paid back. So they maintain 100% ownership or whatever their ownership position is. Am I correct?
It is indeed. Yep. It's just debt. So there is no equity involved. And you know, fascinatingly enough, not to complicate everything and get too crazy into different opportunities, but with the Title III legislation that was recently approved, there are some really fascinating opportunities for people to get into basically crowdfunded equity. So there's a platform called WeFunder that is basically a similar Kiva vehicle, but for the equity side of things. So for people that are looking to raise, you know, hundreds of thousands and are willing to give up a share of equity to do that, there are some platforms that are increasing in popularity across the country.
You know, Andrew, I think we should consider seeing if we can get Jake the Sun up to a quarterly update on what's going on in terms of revolutionary new age sort of funding activities going on in the state.
Yeah, it changes so fast. And that it's great to get an update like that.
So we're going to come out, we're going to bend your arm and see if we can get you to sign that we can get you on here quarterly to give us an update. And we'll talk to Mayor Ann Christensen, who is the executive director for Hannah Grimes and does a terrific job. Boy, you've really given me a lot of great information, and I think you've let everybody here, our listeners know, listening to WBNH 105.1, that there's a lot of things happening out at Hannah Grimes. Can you tell us where in Keene you're located if people wanted to come by and actually meet with you and learn a little bit more and see the environment?
Sure. We are located at 25 Roxbury Street in Keene, so we're just right off the main circle there in Keene, and we have parking on Main Street and in and around the building. So people are welcome to drop by anytime. We can give them a tour of the space and tell them more about some of the other programs that we offer.
So we always have a tradition that if you were here in the studio, actually, or for our listeners, Jake is joining us by phone today from an undisclosed location. but we would normally have you draw from a big kettle we have of sayings and things like that. We're going to bypass that. But we do have a tradition that Andrea is the person who always closes our show. And so I'm going to turn the show over to her. And just before I do that, I'm going to say we appreciate everybody listening. I hope that you will like us on Facebook at the WBNH webpage. And, of course, you can find this show if you want to hear it again, or our other shows for Business IQ Radio by going to the Podbean, podbean.com website, and looking up Business IQ Radio. And it's all identified there as to the topics and who we're speaking to. But I'd like to take this moment. Thank you, Jake, for joining us today on Business IQ Radio.
I have another question for Jake.
Oh, okay. I guess we were almost there. All right. We've got to watch our time here.
So, Jake, how long have you been in Keene?
I have been in Keene for, believe it or not, only 2 years.
So did you have an opportunity to live through the Keene Pumpkin Festival?
I did. I just got here on the last one.
Don's scrunching his nose.
Well, we hope that that you guys thought that up again, because it was a very good event in the past.
In the past. Just wondering if he had ever lived through a pumpkin festival. Hey, you know, Milford has a great pumpkin festival.
They sure do.
So put that on your calendar.
And I also can recommend going to the Portsmouth Halloween evening parade. It's a lot of fun as well.
And you always have to put a plug in for Salem, Massachusetts.
You
at
do.
At some point.
You can't ever get in there because the traffic is so heavy.
Okay.
So we're at the end of the show. Jake, thank you very, very much. Really a terrific job. We'd like to have you back, as I said, on a regular basis. And
that
note.
Thank you very much. And I think our listening audience probably learned a lot. And hopefully we can drum up some more activity for the Kiva process.
And Connect, that's coming up in November.
That's right.
Definitely.
So,
thank you all for having me.
You're welcome. And so I'll just leave our listening audience with this thought. You can spend more than you make, but you can only do it for so long.
Speak to you next week. Thanks for listening to Business IQ Radio.